morning. Welcome. Thank you for coming to Earth Ministries by the Waters, a creation honoring worship service. We are so glad you're with us this morning. We're so glad you've been with us all week. And it is wonderful to come and worship with you this morning as our last act together before we head out this afternoon. So first, I welcome you to stand and sing our first hymn, All Creatures of Our God King, verses 1-3. Uniting us in our purpose to seek you and do your will. As we enter into this time of worship, let us remember our Redeemer's words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." In solidarity with God's work for peace everywhere, let us now offer a sign of peace to one another. As we come back together, let us also take a moment to recall those relationships and communities and places where God's peace is needed. In a few moments of silence, let us offer peace to those situations in our hearts.
Hear now Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. God lifts God's voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations the Lord has brought on the earth. The Lord makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. The Lord breaks the bow and shatters the spear. The Lord burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Please join me in the prayer of sorrow and confession as we take our concerns to God. There will be a moment later on where we will respond out loud with names of bodies of water. Feel free to just shout out. For the polluted seas and dirty streets,
we grieve with you, O God.
For the polluted atmosphere and acid rain,
we grieve with you, O God.
For the dry and arid places that once were lush,
we grieve with you, O God.
For the melting polar ice caps,
we grieve with you, O God.
For the fish, oysters, and plankton starved of oxygen,
we grieve with you, O God.
For those who walk miles each day to reach potable water,
we grieve with you, O God.
For the destruction caused by floods, hurricanes, and cyclones,
we grieve with you, O God.
For the polluted bodies of water near our homes.
Puget Sound.
Lord,
we grieve with you, O God.
As the earth circles the sun, circle this land, O God. Circle the soil, circle the waters, circle the crops, circle the homes. Keep harm without, keep good within. Lord, though creation groans under the pain of our sins, we have not lost hope. Creator, we believe that you have not forsaken us or your creation. We acknowledge that you have forgiven us and given us the means to change our predicament by first changing our hearts. Lord, by your grace and our choices, we can turn oppressive smog into clean air and turn polluted waters into clear rivers. We turn our motivations into prayer, and we turn the groans of creation into praise. Amen. We're now going to sing Wake Now My Senses, verses 1, 3, 4, and 5. You may stand if you are able.
Take us
Orthodox tradition, the blessing of the waters is an important ritual celebrated in early January at the time of Epiphany to commemorate Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River. The Eastern Orthodox tradition holds that as Jesus' divinity was made known through his baptism, the waters in which he was baptized were sanctified or made holy. At this time, please come forward to pour a portion of the water that you brought into our bowl of community water as an offering to God. I saw many of you have possibly Gatorade bottles full of water, so we won't be able to take all of your water, but please pour a small portion of it in here. And if you feel so led, please also take a moment to name the body of water that you are bringing from. As these waters swell together into one, so too is the community joined together as one. Water by definition is dynamic, active, and connected. It takes on different forms in rain, snow, ice, vapor, creek, river, and cloud, as it travels around the globe and through the water cycle. The water placed in the bowl here at Holden Village and later released into Railroad Creek may one day be the water flowing in the Indian Ocean or raining down on the mountains of New Zealand. Please come forward as you feel called.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jens and Susan, for that offering. Please join me in the blessing response. Rejoice in the Lord, for God has refreshed the parched earth.
We praise you, O God.
Rejoice for the rain that falls by night and soaks at once into the dry ground, causing half-dried up roots to swell and the deep cracks in the earth to close.
We praise you, O God.
Rejoice for the great drops that fall at midday. Rejoice in the small streams, singing on their way from the hills down into the valleys, to make the rivers swell and fill the reservoirs and supply the cities and irrigation channels with water.
We praise you, O God.
To the ground, for rain, for seeds and tools, for strength in arms and backs, for the will to work and for creative minds.
We praise you, O God.
Please join us in singing Unto the Water.
Please share with your neighbor if they don't have a copy.
If you're not familiar with the tune of this song, just follow along. It's pretty easy to pick up.
Let all who have
our Old Testament reading, Exodus 30:18 through 21. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a bronze basin with its bronze stand for washing. Place it between the tent of meeting and the altar, and put water in it. Aaron and his sons are to wash their hands and feet with water from it. Whenever they enter the tent of meeting, they shall wash with water so that they will not die. Also, when they approach the altar to minister by presenting an offering made to the Lord by fire, they shall wash their hands and feet so that they will not die. This is to be a lasting ordinance for Aaron and his descendants for the generations to come." Hear now our New Testament reading, Revelations 22, 1 through 7. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and God's servants will serve God. They will see God's face, and God's name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading for today comes from John chapter 4, and it's a story of Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well. And I'm not going to read it at this moment because I'm going to carry us through it as part of the message. So first let us come to God in prayer. Gracious Lord, giver of all good things, source of all life and all light, pour your spirit on us now, Lord, as we step into your word and we seek your truth. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing unto your sight. Let your truth resonate within us, and let all else fall to the ground. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There we go. Okay, so I am going to start at the beginning of chapter 4 of the book of John. And I'm just going to walk us through this and give you some context. I thought it was great that Alan this morning talked about having context for scripture. So that's what I was going to do. Great. And then I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about application. What does this word mean for us today? So I will start at the beginning of the chapter. "Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard, Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired by his journey, was sitting by the well." It was about noon. What I want for you to remember from this portion is Jesus' journey. He had gone from Judea, he was going to Galilee, and he went through Samaria. And he was tired, he was thirsty, he was hungry. So let's start again on verse 7. The story continues on. "A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?'" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans, the text tells us. So let's look at that for a moment, shall we? Jesus is sitting by a well at noon. It's a hot, sunny day. He's tired. And he says to this woman who comes up to the well, "Give me a drink." First off, Jesus would not talk to a woman. It was not culturally appropriate for Jews to speak to women, especially women from other cultures. Secondly, she was a Samaritan. And if you all remember the story of the Good Samaritan, Jews and Samaritans, not so much friends, which is what makes the example of the Samaritan stopping to help the Jew who had been beaten, who had been robbed, who had been left naked and near dead. As all the other Jews walked by and ignored him, the Samaritan stopped and helped that Jew. And Jesus said, who was the one who loved? The Samaritan. So already our context is Jews and Samaritans don't mix so well. They don't share things in common. The text tells us that. Jesus was speaking to a woman. That's really uncommon. He shouldn't have been doing that. But the thing you may not know, because you may not understand first century social contracts, and I didn't until recently, is that to offer someone a drink of water is to offer them the gift of friendship for 1 year. So God says to this, or Jesus says to this woman, give me a drink. He says, offer me a year of friendship. It's crazy. What is Jesus thinking? And the woman knows it. She says, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me? A Samaritan woman. She says it right there. So let's hold that and let's move on. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket. The well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it? In this moment, I want you to strip from your mind everything you learned about living water. And I want you to see Jesus' words to her in the context of this time and this place. To the people in the first century, living water meant something very specific. It meant running water. A stream, a river, a creek, did not mean a well. A well was stagnant water. So what she hears is, if you knew who you were talking to, you would have asked me, Jesus, if I were speaking of Jesus, and you would have asked him for a drink. You would ask me for a drink. You would ask me for friendship, and I would have given you living water. And she said, you have no bucket, A. B, that well's really deep, and are you greater than Jacob, who could only find water underground? Jacob could not find a stream. Jacob could not find a river, so he built this well. Are you greater than that? And so Jesus takes it to the next step. Jesus knows where he's going, but she does not know where he is going. So verse 13, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water I will give will become in them a spring. Living water, running water, a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may never be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. And I love how obtuse she is. Because this is us, right? This is Peter. This is the disciples. Obtuse. Give me that water. I don't want to come here again. Give me that gushing water that I may never have to thirst again. And so Jesus takes it to the next level. Jesus pierces through her obtuseness and gets to the heart of the matter. So verse 16, Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come back. Where'd that come from? That will get there. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. Now, some scholars say that those five husbands were not necessarily men who were her husbands, but the gods which she worshipped, the five gods of Samaria which she worshipped. And the man that she has now who is not her husband is also maybe perhaps the idol she is currently worshiping. So this is where Jesus takes it from running water to eternal life, the gift of eternal friendship, to getting to the heart, which is what she truly thirsts for, who she truly worships, what she truly has in her heart. So I'll continue on with the rest of the scripture, and then we're going to come back to the application. And this is where the seat of it is, in my opinion. So going back to verse 19, the woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say, you the Jews, say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You will worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. The hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" Or, "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. And what, if you read on, we learn is that she brought some people back from the city, and they met with Jesus, asked him to stay. He stayed 2 days, and at the end, many people believed he was the Messiah. So, what does this mean for us today? How can we apply the story of the woman at the well to our lives? And I believe that the place we must go is to the point where Jesus takes it to the next level and pierces through her Samaritan facade, her woman facade. He pierces through her obtuseness, and he gets to the heart of the matter. Go call your husband and come back. I have no husband. You're right. You don't have a husband. You have had five. And I think the question I hear here, the first question I heard was, "For what do you thirst?" That was the first question. And I would say the answer would be, we thirst for God. Do we not thirst for God, a God-sized hole in our heart? But the second question, I think the more important question is, to which well do you go to quench your thirst? And I believe that the environmental destruction that we see on this planet, the social breakdown we see, political breakdowns, wars, everything we see is a result of us thirsting for God and choosing the wrong well. We choose the well of consumption. We choose the well of greed. We choose the well of indifference. We choose the well of comfort, the well of distraction. I could go on and on. We talked earlier this week about an addiction to oil. Oh, I believe that is the wrong well. And at Earth Ministry this Lent, we decided as a staff to give up environmentally destructive behaviors for Lent. We decided to give up going to those wells that do not fill our true thirst. I gave up driving my car to work because I felt like I had an addiction to my car. I had an addiction to the comfort of driving to work. Farfig Nugan, I have a Volkswagen. And let me tell you, it's great. I jump out of bed, I rush, I get ready for work, 15 minutes, jump in my car, and I'm there. I live 4 miles from work. I really have no excuse for driving my car. And one day I was walking to the bus during Lent, and I ran into a friend who lives down the street, and he said, "Oh yeah, for a walk." I said, "No, I'm heading to the bus." I said, "Yeah, I gave up driving my car to work for Lent." And I said, "Yeah, I'm, you know, giving up my addiction." He's like, "Addiction? I wouldn't call it an addiction in the classical sense, at least." So I was like, "No, but it is truly, I believe, a form of addiction. I have a hard time, and I worked at Earth Ministry for a year and a half, and I tried to not drive my car, and it's really hard, but it took Lent and saying, I will not go to that well anymore, to get myself into a situation where now I'm up 45 minutes, hour, I'm ready to go before work, so I can walk a mile to the bus and take the bus 3 miles, or I can get on my bike and ride my bike to work. And he just looked at me funny, and I thought, wow, we just don't get it, do we? We just fail to see that we thirst for God and we go to the wrong well. And we just fail to see that connection. And so what I want you to take away today from Holden, if you're going home, you're staying, when you go home, take this question, for what do I thirst? Thirst for God. To which well do I go? And when you go to the well of your computer, the well of your TV, when you go to the well of the mall, the Walmart, I was this morning, the Walmart. When you go to Walmart, what am I thirsting for? What is the thirst I'm trying to quench with buying this single-use package, you know, this big box of single-use items? What am I going to the well for when I think I have to have a new car, or when I think I have to drive to work, when I can easily take the bus? Or when I feel like I have to eat meat every single day, or when I, you know, ask yourself that question. And so the second application, I'm going to move on now, is best encapsulated in a quote by Rob Bell, who is an emerging pastor in the Midwest, emerging church pastor. And I get these weekly emails from Zondervan, and this was one of them, or daily emails. And I actually put on the signature of my Google Mail and then forgot I did. And I saw a reply from somebody else and I thought it was theirs. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so awesome. I have to get that. And they said, oh, that's not mine. I was like, oh, that's mine. Oh, okay. Well, I forgot to put it on there. And the quote is, and I'll say this slowly, it is estimated that to provide basic health care, food, and clean water to the world's most needy, and this is basic, the cost is equivalent to what Americans spend on ice cream in 1 year. The cost to provide basic health care, food, and water to the world's needy is equivalent to the cost of what Americans spend on ice cream in 1 year. For what do you thirst, and to which well do you go? And I think that the second application is perfectly imaged on this wall. This is the scripture we read, the New Testament scripture, Revelations 22. The river of life, the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city, through the city where we live, where there is poverty, where there is violence. On either side of that river is the tree of life. With its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. So when we go to the well of God, when we plant our roots firmly in the middle of the river of the water of life, when we draw from the correct well, we will bear fruit. We will heal the nations. Do you lack hope? Do you lack power? Do you lack social energy? Do you lack motivation to heal the nations? From which well have you been drawing? The spring of eternal life? The spring which gushes forth? And if we read further in John, in chapter 7, we find out that spring is the Holy Spirit. From which well are you drawing? If you had a choice, which well would you draw from? The TV well? The Walmart? Or the computer well, from consumption well, from comfort well? Would you rather give up your ice cream so that the basic health care, food, and clean water needs can be met of the world's poor in the city through which the river of life runs? And I really think that's all I have to say.
Amen. Amen.
So let us go to God in prayer. Holy, gracious, God Almighty, you are so powerful. and so full of life. You are full of light. You are full of comfort. You are full of convenience. You're right here, right now, in this moment, available to give us life. You are the sustainer and the nourisher. God, you care not only about our spiritual health and our spiritual thirst, God, but you also care about our physical thirst. And that is why you give us water. And there is no coincidence, I believe, Lord, for why you equate water, vital to our function as human beings, vital to our the ability to sustain life, God, and you equate that with your spirit and your ability to sustain our spiritual life, to give us power to do your work in this world. And so, God, right now, I ask that you would fill us afresh and anew with the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would bear fruit, that we would be your hands, your leaves, your fruit in this world, that we bring healing to the nations, that we would never forget, God, that there is hope, there is truth, that there is light, God, that we would never forget that we can light a candle at the base of the wall of the world's problems and know that the wall has already crumbled. Thank you, Jesus. This message has been woven throughout this entire week, and I thank you, God, for giving me light and life and freedom and strength, God, where I don't have strength. Knit this truth into the essence of our being, Lord. Knit it into our hearts, our souls, our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Thank you. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Please join us in singing all for our first song.
Thank you.
please remain standing and join us as we walk our community water to the footbridge across from Railroad Creek to release for God's blessing.